Welcome to Deliberately Developmental Organisations with Adam Coleman. Adam Coleman owns and runs one of Ireland's only DDOs. And at the time of launching his HR software company, HR Locker, Adam did not realise what a deliberately developmental organisation was. However, after having created his ideal company culture, a friend and consultant from a major firm in Ireland informed him that he had indeed created a DDO organically. Adam, who had then crafted his ideal work culture for himself, his family and employees at HR Locker, then realised what his company had become. We at HR Locker have persuaded Adam to finally document and record his lessons learned to inspire other business leaders and allow them to learn how to follow suit and build a DDO culture. Welcome to Deliberately Developmental Organizations.
How do you define performance management, and why is it essential for scaling a mid-market SMB companies, do you think?
Start off, I think you have to start off with setting objectives for the organization, the department, the team, the individual, and have a conversation of what they do and how this affects the overall company goal. What I mean there is it's important for people to be connected to what the overall business is going, but the biggest problem in performance management is communication and to set time for communicating with employees. So like by setting time out for your weekly or your bi-weekly 30-minute one-to-ones with your direct reports, set and agree so your monthly targets or your objectives and learning or CPD or continual professional development for that quarter. And even, you know, even you can define these for the year and set them out as the beginning of your objective setting. So what we do is we set out objective setting session at the beginning of the year, and we leave that objective session open all year round that we can add to it and take away from it and comment on it, and then have a formal quarterly catch up to close out the quarter. So what we do is we set the objectives, and then we set up a quarterly objective setting exercise where we add stuff as we go along, and then at the end of the quarter we close it out. We have a further conversation, which is a formal sort of a quarterly appraisal, and then we reset again for the next quarter. So it allows you basically to have things going all the time, and people know where they're at from both their own personal development and also against the objectives of the company, the department, the team, and then themselves. We have the formally quarterly catch-up set, and we close out the quarter, and the score you get, and I'm talking about scores, and some people say that you shouldn't use scores, but we do. And the score, after each meeting, you can score the effectiveness of the meeting. And then you can actually look at the performance of the employee against a set of principles or values or competencies. And we use an overall scoring of 1 to 4. 1 being not acceptable at all. 2 being, you're getting there. 3 is acceptable. And 4 is more than acceptable. So we tend to use the scoring mechanism, but we link it back to the individual. And people get obsessed with linking it to the objectives of the company, which I can understand why they do it, but I don't think that's the most important thing at the beginning. It's the communication and the setting up of the times that you're going to meet, what you're going to meet about, what the agendas are, and get the meeting agendas right for each separate meeting. For us, it's objective setting, and the next one then is your appraisal at the end of the quarter.
What are some of the most common mistakes that businesses make when implementing a performance management system, and how would you say they could avoid those?
The biggest problem is the lack of communication between the employee and their manager. And then you circle that around objectives, and you circle it around continuous professional development. But you have to understand that you can't do all of them in the one meeting. You can't have a CPD assessment, in other words, what do you need to move forward, an appraisal, reviews, salary reviews, all in the one thing. And people tend to try and jam everything in the one session. What we do is the quarterly appraisals are separate, the annual appraisals are separate. And, you know, when it comes down to talking about salary reviews, the salary reviews are taken out of the hands of the employees, because what happens is that a set of scores gets put forward to the Compensation and Benefits Committee, and they're leveled out to make sure that there's no bias. And then basically they're presented to the company, and then the company decide what the salaries are going to be based on market intelligence, based on what the company can afford, right? And then what happens is the salary is reached at, and then in January, after the appraisals and all that starts going on, it's not a salary review. It's we're telling you this is what your salary is going to be. It's not a need for negotiation. Mm-hmm. If you want to have that conversation, you have it as part of the quarterlies, not as part of the final year appraisal. So it's important for everybody to understand what goes on in each meeting, what's the purpose of it, what's the agenda, and then you can move it on. And it can be really, really quick. It can be really, really fast. And it works out very, very well that way.
Brilliant. And how do you measure employee performance most accurately? Is there metrics that companies should use?
Well, the metrics have to be arrived at by looking at the company's objectives. And you drive them down as you do. You drive them down company's objectives, departmental objectives, you know, the team objectives, right down to the individual objective. And when you get down to the individual objective, then you set up smart goals for the individual, which are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. That normal acronym that everybody knows, you know? But the idea here is that there's no one right set of metrics for an employee to actually be measured against. Like in HR Locker, it's against their smart objectives, and it's against how they perform against the principles and the values and the competencies in the business, which, as you know, Ronan, we spend a lot of time working on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What role does feedback play in the performance management? How can companies provide constructive feedback to their employees?
It always should be constructive and not destructive, right? any feedback that you're going to apply to a colleague, a direct report, or an employee, it has to be actioned. If you say you're going to do stuff, you have to do it. Feedback, you know, is everything in effective performance management. You have to listen to what issues are. You have to look at the obstacles. You have to help your employees to correctly address those obstacles. That's your job as a manager. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to achieve the goals and objectives, many of these objectives and obstacles can be removed by simple mentoring and guidance by their manager. You know, directing them towards CPD initiatives that they might be doing, or training initiatives, or more importantly, encouraging them to come up with their own training initiatives. And in HR Locker, like, we allow people to request training, and it might be just way out there, but it starts a conversation, and it is all about this feedback and conversation. But the actioning the feedback is critical here. If you get feedback and you're providing feedback to an employee, and you have to create an action plan at the end of it, and you have to facilitate for it to happen. And if you don't, you just lose everything.
Okay.
So I suppose that the thing is, you need to close that feedback loop. It has to be closed every single quarter.
Okay, brilliant. How can technology help companies with performance management? Are there particular tools available to assist them?
There's loads of tools out there that can help. But a lot of companies look to systemize first before they really understand what they want the process to be and what they want the process to achieve. And they think that I'll take on a performance management system and it'll solve all our problems. No, it compounds them, okay? Companies systemize their performance management far too early. And what happens is they bring in a system, people don't understand the actual process, and they expect to be followed, to follow a system, which ends up being a bigger box-ticking exercise than before. Mm-hmm. So companies need first to concentrate on getting everyone on the same performance practice code. And you need to do this before attempting to, as the way I put it is, you know, you need to do this before you attempt to eat the whole elephant, which is performance management at its best. Break it all the way right down. Get them to understand the processes, how the meetings work together, what the agendas are, what needs to be achieved, what feedback loops there are, all that sort of stuff before you even think about systemizing it. Mm-hmm. People think if you implement a system, it will just work. And they couldn't be further from the truth. You know, the first thing is to concentrate on when introducing effective performance management is to make sure that the weekly or the bi-weekly or the one-to-ones are happening, and that the content of these meetings is solely looked at where you look at the issues that an employee is having on their day-to-day and on their week-to-week goals, right? If you get this communication working between the employee and the manager, then you're 50% of the way there. And it's about creating time to communicate and chat to make sure everyone gets onto the same page. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you need to put in place is to be able to record these chats. Now, you could be recording them in Teams or Slack. It doesn't make any difference. But if you make them easily accessible, such as HR locker reviews, for instance, it means people can go back constantly and they know exactly where to go when they're in performance mode and they're talking about performance and training, and it's all recorded there. It's really, really simple.
How can companies then align their performance management process with their business objectives and their values?
When you get the communication piece going, then focus on communicating the company's strategy and objectives and the workout, and work out with each individual team, department, employees, how they can influence the business objectives and set SMART goals to reflect that. The company's principles or values or competencies, whatever you want to call them, right? They're very, very important, as they can help the employee and they can teach the employee how they should work with the company framework. And the manager and the employee can use these principles to help and to evaluate how the employee is working and to make sure that they are working in line with the principles. The principles of a business is how a person works. So like, for instance, at HR Locker, we have flexibility, teamwork, initiative and execution, customer focus, resilience and empathy, ownership. I think that's all of them, nearly. And I know we're bringing in a new one, which is called Winning by Design. But what happens there is that under each of those principles, the employees have assessed and shown us what good looks like under each. So they're actually measured against their own bar, which really, really helps.
Brilliant. How do you ensure that performance management then is fair and unbiased? And what steps can companies take to eliminate any bias that might exist?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it earlier on briefly. At the end of each year, what we have is, and to be honest with you, it's working really, really well. And I've implemented enough competency-based frameworks down through the years as a consultant. If it's not working well for us, you're all completely buggered, I think is the term, right? You're all in a bad way. So at the end of each year, we have a leveling session whereby all people's final appraisals and scores against the principles and the overall scores are submitted to the Compensation and Benefits Committee, okay? And in that situation, if there's variances that are there, so for instance, if Ronan is a manager and he's been really hard on some of his people, it becomes very, very apparent. And you can actually look down in with hires or with the reviews, it's great because you can just go to that person and assess what was actually going on. And you get the double feedback from both the employee and the employer, and the manager. So when they're submitted, we do a leveling check across them, right? So if a person, for instance, drops to a score of 1 on a 1-4 scoring ratio, which I mentioned earlier, in more than 2 principles over 2 quarters, they go into what we call a performance improvement plan, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's not, oh my God, you're out the door. This is actually, you know, your performance is slipping. We need to get this working. Now, I can tell you categorically at this moment in time, Ronan, that there is only one person on a performance improvement plan within HR Locker. And it's not like, oh my God, it's time to go looking for a job. It's you have 2 quarters now to come up to speed. And everything that's gone on before is wiped and you start again. So we keep these processes in light. And so everybody knows exactly how they work. All the stuff is kept up to date. And, you know, the performance management process, it just works because people communicate openly. But once you get the communication piece going, you're 50% of the way there. All of the other bits and pieces can row in behind it.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. How can companies then handle underperforming employees? What steps can they take to help the employee?
At the end of each quarter, we look, for instance, at the underperforming employees, and we put interventions in place to help them if their scoring is less than acceptable, on any of our principles. And at the end of each year, we have a leveling session, as I mentioned earlier. All people's finals appraisals and scores are put against the principles and the overall scores submitted, and we go down through every single one of them. And if it gets to a point that they're underperforming, they know about it. They're on that PIP plan, you know, that performance improvement plan. And it basically means that, you know, everybody knows where they're at. There's no surprises. And the purpose of each meeting is known.
How can companies recognize and reward high-performing employees? And what incentives can they offer to motivate and retain that top talent?
I always laugh when I hear this. This is another way of saying, how do employees get more money within the business? And that's fair enough, because we all work for a living and we all work for nice things, right? But the best recognition an employer can provide any employee is by providing the employee with a canvas, basically, to a great and productive career. And so a lot of companies spend a lot of time focusing on, we'll say, benefits and rewards and all this sort of stuff, when they actually, if they got their house in order of how they operate, the way they operate, have a good set of principles to work against, have good objectives set, have them broken all the way down to, that's a lot of the time most important. And people look at, you obviously have to make sure that your best performing employees, that there's a career path for them. And if there isn't a career path for them, Ronan, you have to tell them that. And as our MTP in HR Locker is make life and work easier for both the employer and employee, and allow the employee to manage their own career within the company, --, and beyond. And that's that --, and beyond conversation. If you can't meet the career objectives of your employee because your company isn't growing quick enough or whatever, you know, you have two choices. You either basically help your company to grow and you find a place for them in it, or you decide, you know, it's really time for you to start looking for another job because you've outgrown us. Really difficult conversations to have. A lot of employers would absolutely go nuts and would not have that conversation. But I'm telling you, you're better off when you have that conversation. The best recognition is, as I said, providing a really good career for that employee. When it gets to financial incentives, that's another podcast. You know, you can have share options, you can have all these sort of stuff, deferred gratitude systems, etc. I could talk about three podcasts on that alone.
Excellent. We'll leave that for a different episode. So
that's it.
Cheers, Adam. Thanks for your time.
Not a problem. Hope that helped, Ronan. Thank you.